The Hour of His Judgment. Commentary for the May 6, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Daniel 9:24. Since the mid-19th century, when the Great Disappointment took place, and the early founders of Seventh-day Adventism were beginning to discover the biblical Sabbath, a charismatic faith healer, Hiram Edson, suggested to the disappointed believers a solution for their shame. As followers of William Miller, they had fully committed their faith to Jesus returning in 1844. This was not the first date for Jesus' return that Miller had taught. But that faith became an embarrassment when those who preached it were scorned by those who had not fallen for the hoax. They were desperate for any way to save face before their accusers and naysayers. Edson's idea was that the math still worked, but instead of Jesus coming to the earth to claim his followers, he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven to cleanse the sanctuary there, a sanctuary that was the real one modeled by the tabernacle Moses constructed. While I understand desperate people, not wanting to admit error, would cling to any lifesaver tossed to them, Edson's idea is questionable on several levels, and those questions have only gotten louder over time as Adventist leaders have offered contrived apologetics to prop up the rickety structure with what they feel to be a stone foundation. Unfortunately, the stones themselves are cracked. All of this derives from a vain effort to force the idea of the investigative judgment onto the Book of Daniel, which was actually written to try to make sense of the events of the Maccabean Revolt during the intertestamental period, and not as a way out for date-setting followers of William Miller almost 2,000 years later. I have written extensively about this in my book, Daniel, Stranger in a Strange Land, available as an ebook from Amazon for those who want more than this brief commentary on the subject. The first question that arises is about the whole idea of cleansing a heavenly sanctuary. In the Old Testament, the cleansing of the sanctuary was an annual event to remove the sins of the people that had accumulated through the year by placing them on the head of a goat that would be taken out into the wilderness. Those sins had been symbolically placed in the sanctuary by the blood of the sin offering that was sprinkled on the altar throughout the year. For this yearly cleansing, the high priest had to come into the Shekinah presence of God, risking his life in no less a sense than did Uzzah, who dared to reach out and touch the Ark of God and died for his impertinence. Uzzah's death and the danger to the high priest highlights the contrast between sin and holiness. How did a holy, heavenly sanctuary become polluted with sin so that it needed cleansing? And how could sin even exist in such a holy place? But these are not the only questions. The date setting is also problematic. Even if we accept the improbability of pollution in such a holy place as heaven as somehow accounted for, why would the date of the cleansing matter? Why would 1844 or 1910 or 2023 be any different for the start of that process? We are given no timeline for its completion, so there is nothing to be gained by knowing when it began. The only understandable explanation is to provide an out for those who claimed that Jesus would come in 1844. This way out did not become immediately apparent, for Joseph Bates was promoting a seven-year theory that the actual second coming would occur 7 years after 1844 in October 1851. Ellen White wrote a confirming statement in the summer of 1850 indicating that only a few months remained for people to prepare. As a result of her support for Bates' date setting, her husband James stopped publishing her visions in the Review in 1851, a hiatus that lasted until Uriah Smith took over as editor. It was only after the failure of the 1851 date that the founders began to seriously consider the ideas of Hiram Edson, and they gradually became integral to Adventist dogma. Unfortunately, this also brought with it the heresy of perfectionism. This is because Jesus cannot simply be left in the Holy of Holies. He must return for his followers. Part of the idea of the investigative judgment is that Jesus' ministry in the sanctuary is intercessory, and therefore his followers will need to be without an intercessor between the time he leaves the sanctuary and his arrival and their transformation. The reasoning, therefore, is that Jesus' followers must become perfect before he arrives to stand without an intercessor during that vulnerable time. This is an example of one error necessitating another and then another until everything devolves into a house of cards should the first error ever be challenged. In a sense, the idea of perfectionism derived from an error, an imperfection, and the attempt to deny that imperfection. Ironic, isn't it? Another problem with the investigative judgment commencing in 1844 is that some have realized the frailty of the underlying 1844 date, a frailty highlighted by Desmond Ford, who was viciously defrocked for daring to question the doctrine. To harmonize the commencement of the investigative judgment with 1844, some have insisted that the Hebrew verb in 9:24 means cut off, and therefore must be referring to being severed from a larger timeline, the closest physically within the text of Daniel being the 2300 days of Daniel 8, verse 14. However, the word properly means decreed or determined, as is correctly rendered in practically all translations, including the King James Version. This is also the translation given in William Holliday's authoritative work, A Concise Hebrew and Aramaic Lexicon of the Old Testament. The realization that the Hebrew does not really support the idea of a smaller timeline cut off from a larger one is devastating to the 1844 dogma, and as expected, brings into question the whole process that brought about Seventh-day Adventism. This is not to say that much good has not been accomplished by Seventh-day Adventism. Its educational and medical work has changed the lives of many for the better. Adventist Development and Relief Agency has done amazing things for those suffering from hunger and distress. It is understandable why no one would want to sacrifice these great works by allowing them to be threatened by non-believers. But perpetuating errors is not the way to do it. Eventually, the error will out, even as it is already doing. And when the abscess is drained, it will not only leave an ugly pit, but it will become a scar upon the denomination that will ever remind us and the rest of the world of the danger of defending error. The longer the error is allowed to persist, the larger and uglier the scar that remains when it is finally dealt with. It should have been dealt with in the 19th century instead of passing it on from generation to generation as a poisonous legacy to innocent generations to come. How much different Seventh-day Adventism would be today if they had simply admitted they made a mistake to get involved with date setting in the first place, instead of doubling down with the investigative judgment doctrine? Had we been more honest from the beginning, we would not now be dealing with a perfectionism heresy and its evil offspring, headship theology. This would also have made the biblical Sabbath a beacon of grace instead of an enforcement tool for legalism. Generations of children would not have had to suffer an ecclesiastical frown for daring to go swimming on a hot summer day. And pastors would not have to devote their time to parsing out for their flock what is and is not acceptable Sabbath behavior. With less time teaching sacrifice, they would have had more time for teaching mercy. As I said, the relevant passages cited in our Sabbath School Quarterly were written within and to the milieu of the Maccabean Revolt, and were not written to save face for a small band of 19th century date setters. I have written more about this in my book, but it is too much to present in this brief commentary on the Sabbath School lesson. Hopefully, if nothing more, what I have presented here will at least start some thinking about what is important for salvation and what is not. While the Church may be deeply concerned about whether we accept the 1844 investigative judgment doctrine, I doubt that one of the questions God will ask the saved on that day is, "Did you believe that investigative judgment doctrine?" Perhaps Jesus said it best in quoting Isaiah, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. It is time we stop making such doctrines a matter of life and death. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the footnotes and the written commentary at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more commentaries and podcasts there, as well as a link to the bookstore where my books are featured. May God richly bless you and your family.